Let's talk some basketball now, both WNBL and NBL. And the man who can do that is Roy Ward from the H, Fairfax basketball writer. G'day, Roy.
G'day, Kevin. How are you, mate?
Going well, thank you. Now, Melbourne United have a very, very big game coming up tomorrow night. They take on Illawarra. This is a real top-of-the-table clash, this one.
It's a top-of-the-table clash, and it's one of those really intriguing battles because Illawarra has just been pumped last night by Adelaide. They went to Adelaide and they just got towed up by 30-odd points. And Melbourne had towed up Adelaide by 30 points just last Sunday. So we've got teams coming in off very, very different lead-ups. And with the way this league's gone this year, Illawarra is likely to sneak a win. But we're just going to see which team has that mental strength to come out and, in Melbourne's case, keep up the hot streak, in Illawarra's case, regain it. It's going to be really intriguing.
On a man-for-man basis, how do they match up?
Oh, this is Melbourne's got the big headline stars. We know about Casper Ware, about Josh Boone, Chris Golding, these guys who are just outstanding players in our league. But Illawarra is probably the deepest team in terms of the evenness of their talent from the top player to the 13th. They've just got a lot of contributors. They bring their probably their best scorer, Rodney Clark, off the bench because he sort of just fits better in that sixth man role. They've got a lot of good defensive players, and they've got a veteran like Oscar Foreman who after 400, 500 games is still hitting 20 points a game with his three-pointers. He's had 20 points or more in two of the last three games. So really interesting team. You never really know what the Hawks are going to bring offensively, who's going to get the points, but they get it done.
What are you hearing about Devin Williams and Dave Anderson, the big men that aren't playing at the moment for United, given the injuries to both? Are you hearing any... we spoke to Dave Anderson a week and a half ago, and he's very confident of being suited up again by the end of this month. What are you hearing?
Look, David's got a long history of recovering really fast. He's one of the most thorough professionals you come across, and that's why he's still playing for the Boomers at, 35, 36 years of age. So I think if he's saying that, that sounds a really good assessment. I wouldn't be shocked if he's back even the week before, even sort of 2 weeks from now. But with Devin, it's just so hard to tell. He's a first-year professional. He's a big, strong man who's hurt his knee. And you just don't know, does he need that extra week or two? Does he want to really rest it up properly? Or is he a bit concerned about Josh Boone playing so well, their veteran replacement that they've bought in and wants to get back in and sort of win his spot back? So really interesting situation. I know the Melbourne guys will be very careful with him, make sure he's ready to go when he gets back. But they are going to face that really difficult question. Do they want to try and keep Josh Boone here? Because he's a veteran, he's a proven player all around the world, and they haven't lost since they brought him in. He just gives them such stability off the bench.
How does a Josh Boone just sort of appear out of nowhere and seemingly not have a basketball contract and then comes in and plays so well for United?
There's quite a few of these guys around the world who are sort of in their late 20s, early 30s, who are either have a deal set up and it falls through, or have a deal, then don't like the situation and leave, or a cut. In Europe, quite often, they'll cut imports early if they lose some games. So there's always someone around. And with the NBA season being so long, sometimes guys just wait out, keep training in the US and say, well, if someone gets injured at one club, I could end up with an NBA contract I didn't expect. So You just never know. It's the hardest thing for journalists and others is to track actually who's available, because some of these guys, you just think, oh, has he retired? Is he doing something else? And then suddenly, no, he's available.
Because there was a former player of United's, was it Akeem Warwick? They were actually talking about at one stage that he might have come back.
And it was a similar situation. He was sort of waiting out to see what was going on and what deal was best for him. And he actually tweeted, "Yeah, I'm available." In terms of what the pay is, in terms of what the readiness of the guy is, and how he fits the situation, I think Josh has proven to be an outstanding signing because he's just that in and under physical experience big man. He does a lot of really smart things with his screens and his boxing out too. Just uses his body like a bloke who's played in all the best leagues around the world.
Are you hearing that he wants to stay, and B, they are keen to keep him, or what's the deal?
Melbourne haven't really talked about it. I asked Dean Demopoulos about it after the win on Sunday. And look, in fairness, Dean, it was probably a little premature because they've got Josh until the end of the month. Dean said he hasn't even got to the thinking about that yet, and he's not going to. I suggest he will be thinking about it towards the end of the month when guys are back fit. And Josh has said when he arrived, he would love to play out the season here. He's got no qualms about doing that. He likes to fit. But does it work for Melbourne? Do they want to let a guy like Devon, who they really like, go? I don't know. It's going to be a really tough call.
Yeah, it will be. Now we've got some WNBL action heading to Geelong tomorrow night.
Fantastic work from Melbourne Boomers. They've moved the game to Geelong. It's against Adelaide Lightning, who have had their struggles this year, but they're really starting to find their best form. And they almost knocked off Townsville just before Christmas. So it's going to be great fun in Geelong. Geelong Arena, former NBL venue, still one of the best Siebel venues going around. Yep. Hopefully there's a really good turnout there like there was for Melbourne Victory early in the week. So Melbourne Boomers really keen for a win. They got mathematical final chances still going, so let's see how they go if they get a win and string a few more together.
Isn't that amazing that they've only won the four games, but they still do mathematically have a chance to make it?
Welcome to Australian basketball with 8-9 team leagues. It's just you're always in it, and as long as you don't sort of drop every game, you've really got a shot. So we'll see, but I still think Melbourne's left themselves just so much to do. But they get a streak going, who knows?
At the other end of the ladder, obviously, Dandenong are the power team of the competition at the moment. They look really good, and they're hosting Adelaide on Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be a really important game for Dandenong just to make sure they don't slip up. I think we hear different coaches talk about banana peel games, and this is certainly one of them. You want to make sure if you're Dandenong, you want to get a really good, sizable win. Make sure Adelaide doesn't have a chance. They'll be tired from driving back from Geelong out to Dandenong, and it's just going to be really interesting to see how Dandenong's come out of the Christmas New Year break. They've had a bit of time to rest, a bit of time to get themselves trained up. So really interesting to see where they're at, because they've got such a huge run to the finals from here.
And they've got a pretty big celebration, a milestone celebration coming up, haven't they?
Oh, they've got a few different ones. They've got Penny Taylor coming out here,
right,
and they've got the club anniversary as well. So really, really good times for them. It should be great to see Penny Taylor out here. We didn't really get a chance to give her a bit of a farewell because the Opals Olympic campaign ended just so sadly and suddenly. So great work by Dandenong. Really important piece of basketball history, both their milestone and bringing Penny Taylor's retirement.
Yeah,
hoping
to catch up with Penny Taylor. Where is she top three of all time, up there with Lauren Jackson and maybe Michelle Timms?
I think I'm one of the people that despises these kind of rankings because
I'm glad I asked you then, Roy.
But look, as far as a career goes, there's very few others who can match up against her for achievements, for longevity, and for sort of just proving to people, and particularly Australian young women athletes, that you can be the world, you can be as good as you want to be in this world. You don't have to be a second-rate person because you grew up here. You can be one of the world's best. And both Penny and Lauren proved that in different positions but in the same generation. So, no, she's a real special.
All right, good on you, Roy. Always appreciate your time and look forward to reading your basketball stuff in The Age across the weekend.
Thanks so much, Kevin. Appreciate your time.
Roy Ward joining us there.